2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
This is the 5 o'clock report. 20 minutes of uninterrupted news, commercial free. I'm Jeff Kaplan. KSL's top story. Developing news on KSL News Radio. Storms that have been brewing over Utah County have weakened just a bit, but they're still producing some small hail and loud thunder along the I-15 corridor between Orem and Spanish Fork. Here's KSL meteorologist Kevin Eubank.
And they're actually coming off of the Utah Lake area into the I-15 corridor. So what we're going to see is the heavy rain is happening now from West Jordan all the way over Point of the Mountain. But the lightning and thunder, Spanish Fork is one cell to Payson, and then another one from Lehigh all the way to Orem.
The rain is now spreading to Salt Lake and points north. Expect big gusts of wind of up to 40 miles an hour and slick roads if hard storms hit. The cleanup from last night's gusty wind is still ongoing. Rocky Mountain Power dealt with scattered outages all day long. Some of them were caused not by the wind, but the rain, which caused some power poles to catch fire. Spokesman Dave Eskelson says that happens when the rain causes sparks on dusty insulators.
Whether it's wind or a real heavy snow, you'll have a series of damage points as long as the weather lasts.
The traction law is back in effect for both Cottonwood Canyons right now. KSL News Time 501, a few dozen students and parents rallied outside Ridgeline High School in Millville this afternoon, supporting the LGBTQ community. It's all in response to this video where a student is seen cutting down a gay pride flag. You can hear students at the school cheering. Millville Mayor David Hare gave his reaction right here on KSL. We spoke about an hour ago.
I think we were all teenagers at one time, and unfortunately we do things that sometimes seem funny at the time, but then when the aftermath comes, we realize that we shouldn't have done that.
Joining us live now is Chris Jensen. Chris is the board chair at the Utah Pride Center, and we thank you for joining us. Chris, you've seen this video. You've heard the reaction of those students cheering, and you've heard from Millville's city leader. So what do you think of all this? What do you make of it?
You know, I really think it's a very sad situation. When I saw the video, I wondered if this kid that was doing this fully understood the harmful impact this could have on queer students in Millville.
The Utah Pride Center works across the state to provide safe communities for LGBTQ youngsters. What needs to be done to reestablish that feeling of safety for this community?
You know, what I would recommend is having teachers and students go through an education process on what it means to be an ally and how they can make the school feel safe for everyone. I mean, put yourself in the shoes of queer students watching this happen at that school and how unsafe this must have made them feel. I think that we need to have these kids feel safe to go back again to school and know that they are supported there.
So what would you tell these LGBTQ students in Millville and their parents in this moment?
I think I would tell them, you know, first and foremost, that the Utah Pride Center is here for them and that this is why we do what we do. The second thing I think I would tell them is, you know, reach out, get in touch with allies, make sure that they have your back, and also talk to school representatives, principals, teachers, and make sure that they're watching for this stuff and that they're being inclusive in their teachings and in the education system.
Chris Jensen is the board chair of the Utah Pride Center. Thanks for joining us on KSL News Radio. It's 5:04 and it's official. The United States will start the withdrawal of troops from Afghanistan in just 17 days. Maria Chaleos is live at the KSL National News Desk.
Jeff, President Biden says all U.S. troops will be pulled out of Afghanistan by September 11th, the 20th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. He says it's time to end America's longest war.
We went to Afghanistan because of a horrific attack that happened 20 years ago. That cannot explain why we should remain there in 2021.
At a NATO news conference in Brussels, Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin said the U.S. will continue to support the service members and military families who have sacrificed so much.
Our troops have accomplished the mission that they were sent to Afghanistan to accomplish, and they have much for which to be proud.
But the president's Republican rivals in Congress, like Senator Lindsey Graham, are issuing this warning.
Never forget the enemy. It takes two to end a war, folks. They're not close to quitting.
But Secretary of State Antony Blinken says the U.S. will remain committed to Afghanistan diplomatically.
Even with our troops home, we as an alliance and the United States as a country will continue to invest in and support the Afghan people and their chosen leaders.
NATO also says the military alliance will withdraw all its forces from Afghanistan. Live from the KSL National News Desk, I'm Maria Chaleos, KSL News Radio.
KSL News Time 5:06. First look traffic on the 5 o'clock report. Here's Len Thomas.
In Linden, the vehicles are slowing down to avoid crashing in either direction with rain and hail. In the Salt Lake Valley, I-15 slow from South Salt Lake to Sandy as the water has fallen and also affecting the South Belt. Len Thomas in the KSL Traffic Center.
The 5 o'clock report is brought to you by Any Hour Services, electrical, plumbing, heating, and air. AnyHourServices.com, KSL News Time 5:06. No word just yet on the fate of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Here's ABC's Aaron Katursky.
The advisory panel said there's insufficient data to vote on whether to continue the pause in use of the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine.
The benefit-risk balance to me is unclear without having the risk estimate of this particular potential adverse event.
Dr. Grace Lee said the goal is to keep those vulnerable to the rare and severe blood clots seen in 6 recipients away from the vaccine while allowing others to get the shot. Other experts called the pause devastating since the single-dose vaccine was to be put to wide use in vulnerable communities. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
The Summit County Health Department says people are ghosting them when it comes to COVID vaccine appointments. KSL News Radio's Lindsay Ertz has details.
Summit County's health department says they used to have a low no-show rate.
We were right about 3% until the last couple of weeks, and now we're seeing a drastic increase in no-shows.
Derek Moss, who's running the immunization program, says they typically call people after they've missed, and most people have gotten it somewhere else.
And now we're falling victim to that same appointment shopping.
Salt Lake County says they have a relatively low no-show rate, and Davis County says they've curbed theirs by only releasing appointments in 2 weeks. Chunks.
It does tie up appointments for those that really do want it. It also makes it really difficult for us to gauge how much vaccine we need down here at the clinic.
Lindsay Ertz, KSL News Radio.
KSL News Time 5:08, and time now for My Minute of News. We're brought to you by Any Hour Services, electrical, plumbing, heating, and air, anyhourservices.com. You know, we only use 10% of our brains. The rest of the space up there is being wasted. Might as well rent it out because humans can't access the other 90%. I know you've heard this, and I'm guessing you first learned this from a movie, whether it was Lucy with Scarlett Johansson or Limitless with Bradley Cooper. He takes a pill to tap the other 90% and becomes the smartest, richest guy in the world. One problem. None of this is true. In fact, neuroscientist Daphna Shohami tells the Wall Street Journal, it's absurd. The brain doesn't function at 10% of its capacity. This idea came from a self-help book written in 1907, which is about the same time people bought snake oil and drank radioactive water for good health. Back then, people seized on the idea that we don't use the full capacity of our brains because it leaves so much opportunity for self-improvement. But alas, the truth is you're already chugging on all cylinders. The human brain weighs about 3 pounds. Of that, 8 ounces of brain is devoted to bodily function, keeping you going. The other 2.5 pounds is for making you smart. Granted, some people might use only 1.8 pounds on intelligence, but you can train your brain to think faster, better, and even smarter. But for the most part, regardless of what the movies say, you're already using what you got.
Jeff Kaplan's Minute of News, only on KSL News Radio.
Traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the nines as you make your way out there. A wet drive right now in the Salt Lake Valley as you make your way from South Salt Lake down to Sandy. Getting a little bit better as it seems some of the rain has stopped, but there's still lots of water on the roadway. Also, the I-215 South Belt is slow from Rudder Road all the way over to about 900 East. And looks like you're looking pretty good out on the 201 freeway right now. Michelle?
Well, we're seeing slowdowns. This is southbound I-15 from Pleasant Grove Boulevard down to the Linden area. We also have a traffic trooper letting us know that there's a stalled vehicle, US-6, as you're headed up towards Spanish Fork Canyon. On the flip side, seeing some slowdowns in spots on I-15 from Orem up to American Fork. Steve?
And lights and wipers on in spots northbound 15 from downtown Salt Lake City up into Weber, Davis, and Box Elder counties. Looks like we have some slowdowns on southbound 15 between Roy and Sunset. Any hour service is electrical, plumbing, heating, and air. Courteous, happy, and willing to help with any repair or replacement needs you may have. Google Any Hour Services or visit anyhourservices.com. Steve Carlson in the KSL Traffic Center.
Traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the nines. And Kevin Eubank has the hourly forecast on the 5 o'clock report. An hour-by-hour description as we head toward Thursday.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. As we move through the 5 o'clock hour, cloudy skies with developing valley rain, mountain snow, and scattered thunderstorms. Temperatures will be in the mid-40s from 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7, low 40s for 8 and 9. Ultimate lows will dip into the 30s with scattered showers lasting into the overnight. With your hourly forecast on the 5 o'clock report, I'm Kevin Eubank.
And so we get more weather drama in Provo. Thunderstorms and 45 degrees. There's rain falling in Salt Lake City and 44. KSL News Time 5:11 now. Let's go in depth with Maria Chaleos.
Jeff, spiders are mostly blind, but their webs are sensitive to movement, which they detect with their legs. Now scientists have created an audiovisual virtual reality to take this on. Now it converts a web's vibrations to sounds that we can hear, giving us an idea of what it might feel like to be a spider. Marcus Bueller at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology says the differences in length and tension of each strand emit a different frequency when disturbed. Now, his team has created a 3D map of webs made by the tropical tent web spiders, and he believes the sounds are an accurate reflection of what the spider would see.
Your music, too.
Jeff?
Thanks, Maria. KSL News Time 5:12. UDOT is now closely monitoring a number of bridges after a recent infrastructure report from the White House. That report found 62 Utah bridges and 2,000 miles of highway are in poor condition. Here's KSL News Radio's John Wolchek.
Overall, the state received a C-plus grade when it comes to infrastructure. UDOT spokesperson John Gleason says we should feel pretty fortunate considering that a C-plus was good enough to tie Utah for the best mark in the entire country. He adds that none of the 62 bridges listed in the report are safety concerns right now.
UDOT routinely inspects all bridges in the state. These listed in the report were already due to be replaced or repaired over the next couple of years. Heavy equipment, health workers, and police moved in this morning to clean up a homeless encampment near downtown. It's one of many abatement projects that have generated criticism. Environmental health manager at the Salt Lake County Health Department, Dale Keller, says their focus is on public and environmental health.
For the last 10 days to 2 weeks, social workers, not health department, but partners to the health department have been out trying to offer assistance for housing, taking people to shelters, those type of things. I would say about half of those that were camped here availed themselves to that.
Keller estimates they moved about 20 tons of garbage. Advocates have called on the city to end the camp cleanups until more housing options are available. Homeless teenagers now have a place to take care of some of life's basic necessities in Davis County. Clearfield High School has just opened a facility where teens at risk can do laundry or take a shower. It's the first of four teen centers in the Davis School District, where officials estimate more than 1,000 of the district's students are homeless. More than 50 of them attend Clearfield High School every day. The former police chief and four former officers at the University of Utah are asking for $10 million for the way they were treated after the Lauren McCluskey case. Here's KSL News Radio's Mary Richards.
The legal claim says that the officers' good names and reputations have been adversely impacted by how they were treated by the University of Utah. They say they've lost their jobs or can't get new jobs because of the stigma created by the U. Lauren McCluskey called police 20 times in October 2018 to say her former boyfriend was extorting and harassing her. Police say he lied about who he was. Mary Richards, KSL News Radio.
Trending on social media. Well, let me just share the headline. Alcoholic monkey gets life sentence after attacking 250 people in India. True story. The monkey's owner hooked him on liquor. The owner died, thus cutting off the booze supply, and the monkey went nuts. When authorities finally caught the critter, he attacked everyone and everything in the zoo, so now he's sentenced to solitary confinement for life in the Kanpur Zoo. Kids, don't drink. The three things you need to know this hour. First,
a few dozen students took to rallying outside Ridgeline High School outside Logan this afternoon in support of the LGBTQ community. It comes after an online video shows a student inside the school cutting down a gay pride flag from the rafters. I'm KSL News Radio's Lindsay Ayres.
Second, the J&J vaccine pause will continue another week. The CDC panel that decides whether to recommend the vaccine has asked for more time and more information before making a final decision. Third, our biggest traffic trouble spot.
Rain and hail slowing the drive. American Fork to Orem. Len Thomas in the KSL Traffic Center.
Wild wind, rain, and snow, and we're still not done. I'm Kevin Eubank.
It's 44 and raining in Salt Lake. Now, KSL's top national stories.
From ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. A panel of CDC advisors says it won't rush to decide the next steps for a COVID-19 vaccine, which may be linked to rare but potentially dangerous blood clots.
The advisory committee adjourned without a vote on whether the pause in administering the Johnson & Johnson vaccine should continue.
We don't have enough data to make a decision at this time.
However, Dr. Deborah Cotton said the pause should not be indefinite.
Putting this vaccine on pause for those of us that are frontline healthcare workers has really been devastating.
The committee agreed to reconvene in a week or so. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
The mayor of Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, is asking for calm after three nights of protests over the police shooting of a black man. Mayor Mike Elliott says he's also concerned about rubber pellets and chemical irritants used on demonstrators.
Gassing, in my opinion, is not a humane way of policing.
Kim Potter, the former police officer who killed Dante Wright, has been charged with second-degree manslaughter. A forensic pathologist took the witness stand for the defense today in the trial of Derek Chauvin. He says George Floyd died of a cardiac condition caused by his heart disease, not from a lack of oxygen, caused by the former Minneapolis police officer pinning Floyd to the ground. President Biden says all U.S. troops will leave Afghanistan by September 11th.
We already have service members doing their duty in Afghanistan today whose parents served in the same war. We have service members who are not yet born when our nation was attacked on 9/11.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says Biden is making a grave mistake. The Coast Guard has pulled six survivors from a commercial boat which capsized off Grand Isle, Louisiana, along with one body. You're listening to ABC News.
More on the president's announcement today.
I've concluded that it's time to end America's longest war. It's time for American troops to come home.
The president at the White House this afternoon officially announcing the withdrawal of service members from Afghanistan by September 11th. Mr. Biden says he's now the fourth American president to oversee this war, and he will not pass it on to a fifth.
When I came to office, I inherited a diplomatic agreement duly negotiated between the government of the United States and the Taliban that all U.S. forces would be out of Afghanistan by May 1, 2021, just 3 months after my inauguration. That's what we inherited, that commitment. It's perhaps not what I would have negotiated myself, but it was an agreement made by the United States government, and that means something. So in keeping with that agreement and with our national interest, the United States will begin our final withdrawal begin it on May 1 of this year. We'll not conduct a hasty rush to the exit. We'll do it responsibly, deliberately, and safely. And we will do it in full coordination with our allies and partners, who now have more forces in Afghanistan than we do. And the Taliban should know that if they attack us as we draw down, we will defend ourselves and our partners with all the tools at our disposal. Our allies and partners have stood beside us, shoulder to shoulder in Afghanistan for almost 20 years. And we're deeply grateful for the contributions they have made to our shared mission and for the sacrifices they've borne. The plan has long been in together, out together. U.S. troops, as well as forces deployed by our NATO allies and operational partners, will be out of Afghanistan before we mark the 20th anniversary of that heinous attack on September 11th.
The president this afternoon, you heard about his statement saying the 2,500 American troops will be leaving Afghanistan. Now you've heard the actual statement on KSL News Radio. You've been listening to The In-Depth. Now it's time for Triple Team Traffic, and here's Len Thomas.
Jeff, after the morning's weather, we're in the next chapter, big and little Cottonwood, seeing the big flakes fall, creating a slick drive, restrictions in place again, getting in the boat or the car and taking the plunge. Watch for hydroplaning conditions with rain bogging the drive from South Salt Lake and thickening and slowing the most Murray to Midvale. Also in the I-215 South Belt from Rudward Road and Taylorsville to the 6200 South exit. Michelle?
Well, again, we have weather slowing things down in Utah County. This is southbound I-15 from Lehigh's Main Street down to Linden. On the flip side, seeing those slowdowns from Orem up to almost Pleasant Grove Boulevard. And also, we have a stalled vehicle. This is Highway 6 in Spanish Fork. Steve?
Got a traffic accident in downtown Salt Lake City, 5th South and 5th West. Keep an eye out for that. Meantime, north and southbound I-15 looking really good this afternoon between Salt Lake and Willard Bay. And we do have some slowing, though. Northbound Highway 89 really backed up for some reason through Fruit Heights from Green Road up to 200 North. Steve Carlson in the KSL Traffic Center.
Traffic and weather together on the nines. The 7-day forecast now. Here's Kevin Eubank.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. What a wild day of weather. And we're not done. Scattered thunderstorms continue to impact northern Utah tonight. Look for more valley rain and mountain snow. Lows in the 30s in the overnight. We'll see those storms continue on Thursday with a high of 53, with a few showers lingering even into Friday morning. Storms gone by Friday night. The weekend, nice. Back to sunshine, upper 50s and low 60s. Low 70s for the start of next week, and then partly cloudy skies and mid-60s for the middle part of the week. From the KSL Weather Center, I'm Kevin Eubank.
44 and thunderstorms around Provo. It's raining in Salt Lake City. Same temperature, 44 degrees. KSL News Time 522. You've been listening to the 5 o'clock report, brought to you by Any Hour Services, electrical, plumbing, heating, and air, anyhourservices.com.
Jeff Kaplan, only on KSL News Radio.
Or another, I'm gonna see you. I'm gonna meet you, meet you, meet you, meet you one day. Maybe next week, I'm gonna meet you. I'm gonna meet you, I'll meet you. I will drive past
you. Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.